Rise and shine, campers. Welcome to day one of Camp One Clap on the One Clap Speech and Debate Podcast. I'm your camp director, Lyle Wiley, and today we'll be joined by Counselor Josh Thompson for a Counselor Campfire Chat. Don't forget to hop on your social media application of choice and do your Camp One Clap social media challenge for today. Today's challenge for day one, share your speech and debate origin story. Post a video or a written post sharing how you got started in speech and debate and what inspired you to become a part of this incredible community. Remember, each challenge is an opportunity to connect, learn, and grow within the speech and debate community. Be sure to tag our social media accounts or use the hashtag Camp1Clap23 when you post. If you post for at least 20 days of August, I'll send you a holographic Camp One Clap sticker. If you post for all 31 days of August, heck, I'll send you a variety of One Clap and Camp One Clap stickers, a One Clap Speech and Debate coaster, and a Camp One Clap magnet. Today's counselor you might recognize as this year's expository NSDA national champion. That's right, Josh Thompson is here for day one of camp. Here's Josh's camp counselor bio. Josh Thompson is a black sealed fourth year competitor and one-time national champion of expository speaking. He is from Cheyenne, Wyoming, and competes at Cheyenne East High School. He has competed in humor, drama, duo, oratory, and expository, and hopes to branch out for a senior year. Josh is thrilled to be a One Clap Camp counselor, and he is excited to share his thoughts on nationals and all things speech and debate. I was lucky enough to sit down by the digital campfire with Josh and discuss life as a national champion, his mind-blowing experience at Nats, ideas for helping other interpreters and platformers improve their performance, and the astounding power of dad jokes, among other things. So, gather around the fire, campers, for a counselor campfire chat with national champion Josh Thompson. Welcome to One Clap Speech and Debate, and specifically Camp One Clap, Joshua Thompson. Hey, Josh, welcome to the podcast. Thanks for being here.
Hi, thanks for having me.
I should premise your name with national champion. I think I should just call you national champion Josh Thompson from now on. That seems appropriate.
You know, that works. That works with me.
I'm super excited to talk about that with you. Welcome to Camp One Clap. I want to know first, what's your favorite like camp activity?
Oh, boy. Well, funny enough, I actually went camping a couple weeks ago, and it was an absolute blast. It was my first time camping with friends and not my family. And it was also the longest I've been camping. It was awesome. And I think my absolute favorite camp activities have to be hiking, tending the fire, and making s'mores.
All three great activities. Yeah, tending the fire is kind of fun, right? Just getting a stick and just poking it, like kind of moving stuff around, making sure it doesn't go out. Sort of mesmerizing. Yeah.
Specifically adding stuff to the fire and trying not to make it too big.
Yeah, it's kind of, those are three, like, they're very complementary activities, right? You have the hike, which is like the movement, the tending the fire, which is sort of almost meditative. And then, of course, s'mores, which is like nourishing. It's nourishment for the soul.
It's very healing.
Do you have a specific way you make a s'more? There's a little bit of dispute about the correct way. I'm curious if you do it the right way.
Well, this might be controversial, but I like me a very burnt marshmallow. So I get the crackers and the chocolate ready on the side, and then literally just shove the marshmallow into the fire until it's flaming, blow it out, I stick the top cracker over it and sandwich it between, and then I just slide it off, and it's perfect because it's got the nice kind of burnt shell, but then it just melts in your mouth. So good. So that's my favorite.
So you don't painstakingly like toast the marshmallow, like lovingly, like let the flames lightly lick it or whatever. It's just like you just throw it in the flame and you're like burn it.
Yeah, it's like instantly into the.
All right, well, you know what? I don't know that there's actually a wrong way to eat a s'more. They're delicious no matter what. So
exactly. You could eat it without even touching the fire.
Yeah, absolutely. Doesn't even need to be cooked and it's still going to be delicious. Yeah. You're right. Yeah. So the other question I like to ask everybody who comes on the podcast is, their nerdiness level. It seems like speech and debate, folks, we kind of almost embrace our level of nerdiness. Do you consider yourself a nerd on a scale of 1 to 10? What's your nerd level?
Absolutely. The thing is, I'm very nerdy about certain things. So like my favorite video game is Destiny, and I could talk about the lore for like hours, but it's not like I have a big collection for it. So I'd put myself at probably like a 9. I don't think I'm quite at the 10 yet, because I don't have like an entire altar to Destiny collectibles or anything. But I'd say probably a 9, because I get really nerdy about a lot of things.
Not yet. You don't have a whole collectible.
Not yet. That's a good point. If I came across certain collectibles, I mean, I have like lore books and art books and stuff, so, and socks. So maybe a 9.5.
Socks. That's,
Oh, yeah.
Isn't that like a big, that's a big East thing, right? Like, Coach Vonnie's socks are always really wacky, and he says that people challenge him to like a sock off or whatever. Who has the better socks? Yep. So do you compete in the sock competitions?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I've kind of, you know, especially freshman and sophomore year, I was kind of the reigning champion, you know, but I've kind of let the torch pass down to the younger kids. But I still, if you'd like to see them, I have some great socks.
Well, I mean, it is interesting. I was the reigning sock champion. This is some nice socks. Life goals.
Yeah. Thank you.
I don't know if that's a bigger accomplishment than like, say, some of your other accomplishments in speech and debate, but it does seem like a pretty big one.
It's up there for sure.
Is there any other besides video games and Destiny? Or do you nerd out on any other like, you know, movies, TV shows, texts, books, anything like that?
Yeah, definitely. I love to read. I actually played D&D seriously for the first time last weekend, which is a ton of fun. And I read books set in the D&D universe, and there's literally like 40 of them. I'm about 3/4 of the way through all the books. And they're super, super cool. It's all fantasy, very nerdy. I love to read. I find math and science and space super fascinating. And me and my stepdad will find articles about new like space discoveries, and we'll send them to each other and be like, that's so cool. Just it's interesting. So
you're up there on the nerd scale then, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
I think all that stuff's really cool, but yeah, you're gonna go with a 9, just like a really high.
Yeah, I edging towards a 9.5, I'd say.
Sweet. That's a good place to be. Yeah. So we're going to talk about some really amazing accomplishments that you had this year and your team. But I do want to like just hear your general speech and debate story. Like, what got you into speech and debate? Why'd you stick around? I know you had a sister who was in speech and debate. I kind of remember Amber. I'm wondering if that has anything to do with your story. But like, what brought you in? What made you stay? Like, you know, why are you still there doing speech and debate stuff now?
Yeah. So Amber was definitely why I got into it. She's my older sister. We're 6 years apart. And she did it, I'm pretty sure, her whole high school career. And my mom actually did it too when she was in high school and I think college with one of my coaches, Ashley Schultz. They're like best friends, and they still are. So I was kind of predestined, I think, to go into it because, you know, two members of my family and a family friend. I remember going to an open house with Amber one time for school, and I met Viney, and Amber was kind of like, oh, this is my little brother, and he's, you know, he'll probably do it when he's in high school. And I remember Viney just kind of being like, oh, we're so excited for you, Josh Thompson, you know. So that obviously kind of turned me on to it, because Viney is one of the nicest people I know. He's an angel. So I was like, if he's going to be there, yeah, I want it. I don't even know what it's about, but I just know you speak and debate, supposedly. And there were a few times where there were tournaments in Cheyenne that we actually went and watched Amber perform. I think it was state or districts or something, and it was at South. And so that was really cool, just seeing, you know, people getting up and acting, because she was in duo. And I actually knew a lot of her friends from the speech team, because I would like, you know, she's my best friend. I would hang out with her all the time. Therefore, I would see her friends and everything. So I kind of always knew I was going to do it. And then, yeah, I got signed up for it when I got into high school. And immediately, it was the greatest community I have ever been. And I was like, oh, yeah, this is, I want to stick, because everyone was so nice and so welcoming. And I actually ended up, I'm pretty sure I picket fenced the novice tournament. I went in humor and drama, and I won. I mean, it was like a participation award, but you know, that was pretty cool. And I was like, oh man, like I could actually do okay at this, you know? And, so that was really cool. I don't want to sound like I'm bragging. That was just like a really cool first experience.
Well, I think, yeah, those novice tournaments are, I mean, they give students an opportunity for success, and sometimes you get kind of like addicted to it and stuff.
Yeah. Like, oh man, this is cool. That was actually really nice, because I'm pretty sure it was just like an afternoon, a couple hours. It was like three rounds total. And I was like, oh, if this is all it is, you know, not really realizing that there was going to be 2-day trips the rest of the year. Well, not that first year, because that was COVID time. And so my first year was actually completely virtual, which actually never got the traveling experience before that. So I was fine with it. It was actually a lot of fun. And it started out with us being able to go to the school, but then it kind of got more restrictive and we had home tournaments, which, you know, it got kind of lonely and everything. But they had a Zoom meeting room where all the kids could get together and say hi between rounds. So that was cool. But by far the best experiences I've had were with traveling. And we only started that last year, you know? So I've only been traveling for 2 years out of my three so far, but it's just so cool being able to visit new places and everything. I've done humor and drama, duo, oratory, and expository, which is what I became national champion at, which is so cool. At the beginning of the year, Mr. Viney has us do little goal sheets, and every year he's like, I want you to do like a super serious goal, like something you're going to achieve this month, and then I want you to do kind of a loftier year-long goal. And every single year I was like, potentially become a national champion, and this year it actually happened, which is still, it just blows my mind. And yeah, I still not quite mentally, it's like, actually happened, or wasn't it? I'm not sure.
So cool. I mean, you're gonna have to like reassess what you put for your goal next year, I guess.
I know, it's like, what comes next? I do it again, I guess.
President of the United States? I don't know.
Yeah, I guess international change would be the next level.
But maybe you want to go like intergalactic.
Yeah. Yeah. Just like the next empire, and just take over Mars. You know.
Well, I feel like this is a good segue into the topic of your expository, which is,
oh yeah,
dad jokes. And yeah, like what's your best dad joke? What do you got?
Oh, all right. So this is my personal favorite, because I came up with it. How do astronauts prepare for a party?
I don't know. How do they?
They plan it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a solid dad joke. I agree. Thank you.
I do also have this little compendium of dad jokes that my dad got for me after Nats.
How did you use this idea of dad jokes to make your speech impact.
I totally credit Mr. Viney for this idea, because he came up and he was like, Josh, I have this awesome idea and I think you'd be the perfect person for it. Cause I love bad jokes. I mean, I made a whole speech about it. So, we got to talking, and basically he found this article with research on how dad jokes literally make us better people. And it's because, basically, kids who have dads who tell these jokes literally build up a natural immunity to embarrassment, judgment, and later become adults who feel empowered to be themselves. And that was a chunk from my fourth paragraph expose. That's just kind of like the research behind it. It's super interesting because, it literally, like, it makes you all right with awkwardness. And, I just think that's fascinating. Like, just these bad jokes can make you feel like, you know, you can handle awkward situations in life. You can handle stress and everything. And, you just feel empowered. And that was really cool. And I also tied it into how, you know, we have a lot of toxic masculinity and issues with that. And dad jokes kind of take dads, and highlight their wholesome and innocent and kind aspects and everything. And I just think that's really important, because I have a great dad and a great stepdad, and they're some of the greatest people I know. And I know that everyone has someone like that in their lives. So. That was in my last paragraph. I wanted to recognize people who don't have dads and be like, you know, I'm so sorry, but you know, we can all appreciate a good dad joke, and we can all have someone in our lives who can share those with us. And, that's definitely kind of the heart piece. It's just, I remember to an IETOC with, I actually got fourth there, which was really cool. And I remember several people in that final round just broke into tears when I got to that part. And it was so impactful, because I had people come up to me after, be like, thank you. I needed to hear. I want to talk to my dad now. I want to give him a hug, you know? And, a guy from that final round actually stopped me. We were both in the restroom at the same time, washing our hands. And he was like, hey, I just wanted to congratulate you. That was a great speech. And you made me think of my dad, who I lost a couple years ago. And I just wanted to thank you for reminding me. And that's why I love that speech. You know, it just, and that's why we do speech, to touch people like that, you know, and that was so cool.
Yeah. It's just such a smart topic. It taps into a lot of things real to everyone, you know, impulse to giggle at a terrible joke. The fear of awkward situations, the tendency to expect perfection from like everybody in society. Just like accepting flaws, you know, being reminded about what's important in our lives, the people in our lives. Yeah. Just like, I think it's like a beautiful topic that just taps into all sorts of emotions that, you know, were probably part of the reason why it really resonated with people at nationals and wherever else you were able to compete with it. You did it at an IETOC. Did you get to use it anywhere else? I know expository is a little bit of a niche event.
Yeah. I really wish it was an event you could do all year, because those were the two tournaments I used. That was it. And I really wish I was able to go all year, because I just fell in love with it. Can I be honest? One of my favorite things about Expos is it's only 5 minutes. And those rounds are like a half hour and then you're done. I'm so used to like an hour and a half.
those rounds felt like nothing, and I loved it. So.
Yeah, I judged extemporaneous commentary at Nationals too, and it's a similar wonderful feeling to see 6-7 really amazing, great pieces, and then you're done in like 35. It's pretty sweet. It's
awesome. That was my favorite part, frankly.
I totally understand. Yeah, no, actually, I think some of those supplemental events are, I mean, gosh, it feels like they're the kind of events that especially a new competitor would really benefit from, because that 2 minutes is a lot to try to like pack a lot of stuff into. 5 minutes feels a little bit more manageable, but it's a great event, and it's so cool that you were on the national stage accepting a national championship trophy. That is unreal. How does it feel to be a national champion, Josh? Is it like hard to explain?
Honestly, yeah, it's just out of this world. It's just so cool, and I'll be forever grateful because my family on my mom's side actually came to the national tournament, and they were there supporting me the whole time, and all my friends on the team, all my coaches and everything. I mean, that's what I'll always remember. It's like I was freaking out, but then just seeing everyone else like screaming, and you know, there's videos that people took. I just remember like my mom and sister and my grandma, and they're all just like, holy sh-, you know, it just started screaming. The camera was shaking and everything. That will always stay because after I got the award, it was such a blur because I couldn't believe it. And you know, we had to get pictures and everything, and I was just clutching onto the trophy, and I was shaking, and they were like, all right, we're going to take your picture. All right, here's your other trophy. Hold this. Smile. And I was like, what? And you know, it was just crazy. And you know, Mr. Viney was there the whole time, and Rachel and Solomon too, they were also national finalists. And I mean, we swept the floor because we, three people from the same school in a national final round. That is so cool. And they did so well. And I'm so honored that I got to be up there with them because their speeches were fantastic. And that final round was stacked. And it's just so cool that I got to be up there with
them. Yeah, it's kind of incredible that y'all, all three of you, got to share the experience of being on the national stage together. It's like a moment that just doesn't happen a lot at nationals, period. Oh. Definitely not for like Wyoming schools. Very difficult to have anybody on a national stage. It's amazing to have three competitors on the national stage. So cool.
That's the coolest part to me is like, I mean, I just can't believe, you know, I know Mr. Viney really kind of pushed us to do expos, and he was like, you guys have really great speeches. I know we can, you know, close out with these, you know, and he was right, you know, and I think it's an untapped kind of potential event that people don't really consider because they only care about the main events. But the supplementals are just as important, you know, in my opinion.
Yeah, I do think this year especially, a lot of coaches actually kind of did focus on the supplementals as an opportunity for students. Definitely saw the numbers go up. How many expository speeches were there?
At the beginning of the tournament, I'm pretty sure it's like 468 or something.
Yeah.
And then it kind of
sounds right.
Went down as it went. I'm pretty sure it was around 450-ish.
Yeah, I think NSDA adding those two supplemental, I think that used to be four, and it's two supplemental additional entries. I mean, there are folks that have been working on their supplementals. They had been working on them really all year because the expectation was they were going to go no matter what to nationals to do those supplementals. So, I mean, I think it's definitely a place that in the last several years has been a little bit like, that's like a weak spot. I do think it's not a place to easily do well, though, right now. I think it's still just really amazing that your school was able to poke through with three people in expos to the national stage, but also just have a lot of success in the supplemental events in general. We were
a lot of
folks went really far.
Yeah. You know, Jaden was the winner 2 years in a row in what, prose and poetry?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. That's pretty
amazing.
It's really cool. Yeah.
So. It is really cool. I do have a memory. So I was judging, I had to judge the out rounds for the supplemental events that day at Mesa. And I judged the entire day, like during out rounds, like caught every single round. So yeah. I was in a bit of a frenzy, like kind of going from classroom to classroom, but I did see you before. I don't know. It might've been octas or quarters, or I'm not sure how far along you were. It might've actually been before semis. You looked a little bit nervous, but honestly seemed pretty chill, like pretty calm. You were hanging out with Viney. So how did you keep your calm moving forward into out rounds at nationals? I mean, it's a big stage, a lot of them. I mean, I'm sure you saw some amazing pieces. How'd you keep your calm and just go in there and do your best version of your speech?
So I am someone who has anxiety, and speech can be really hard for that, because when you're waiting for breaks, even if you've done well historically, every tournament could be the one you don't break at, you know? And there's always that feeling. And I've never like thrown up or anything, but I just get such bad butterflies and I just feel like I'm going to pass out. And it was super hot too, which definitely didn't help.
Mesa was like, it was rough.
Yeah, it was rough. But all day between every round, I had that same feeling where I was like, oh man, I really hope I break, but what if I don't, you know? And it just all day. And then the relief you feel when you do is, oh, thank God, you know? And to be completely honest, before that semifinals was the most nervous I was the whole tournament. I was less nervous before finals than I was before semifinals. And I'm not quite sure why, but that was the farthest I had broken at a national tournament at that point. And I was like, I really hope I get the chance to be in finals. And then I found out that I did break. And that was such an incredible feeling. Cause I mean, we were like, reloading tab room all day to see breaks and everything. We were literally walking to the car when we got the notice, the three of us broke. And that was such an incredible feeling. And all I felt going into finals was excitement. And I was like, I just want to do the best I possibly can, gotten here. No matter how I do, I'll be happy, because this is insane. And it was a big room. But honestly, I just didn't feel nervous at all. I just got in there and did my piece and had fun with it. And it's such a kind of powerful feeling getting up on the stage, you know? You just feel like you gotta exude confidence, because I think that goes a long way with people. And if they see you're nervous, sometimes can make you seem less credible, or I don't know. I think they understand if you are nervous. But if you go up there confidently, I feel like these people kind of perk up. I'm also really lucky because I went first round, and I'm really glad I did, because if I didn't, I would have to sit and get more nervous. Which, you know, it's kind of a hard thing. It's almost the luck of the draw kind of. On mm-hmm. where you go up. So I'm really glad I got to go first, because I think that really helped me be confident.
Have you thought about how awesome it is that your expository that you worked really hard on and that is important to you and important to a lot of other people, that because you're the national champion, that folks are going to go back and watch that speech over and over and over? I mean, it's so cool you do this activity so you can tell people about things that you care about and share ideas that you care about. And one of your babies is going to be like dissected and watched for years and years and years.
That's so, so cool. And it makes me so happy that more people get to hear the message and could potentially touch more lives. You know, that's so awesome to me.
Yeah. It's, I mean, it's even like compounded in awesomeness by the fact that Solomon and Rachel's speeches are also going to be watched over and over and over too. So,
oh yeah.
So is there anything else you want to share about your experience at Nationals this year at all? Do we hit all the bases?
There was so much to that tournament. It was so much fun, so hot. A lot of just kind of funny things. Speaking of being nerdy earlier, I brought my Switch along. And on that tournament, I got the DLC for Breath of the Wild. And I beat it at that tournament. So like in between rounds, I was like, oh man, I hope I break. And then I was just like fighting Ganon and stuff, Link and everything. I did all the Master Sword trials and everything, which is kind of fun because I was just like, yeah, the tournament's cool and everything, but I also really want this. So that was pretty nerdy. But
that's kind of cool, though. You're always going to have, anytime you think of the game, the music works this way for me. Like I have music memories. So like an album that maybe I was like spinning over and over and over on my headphones during an event will like immediately trigger all these memories. So now anytime you think about the new Zelda, you're just going to be like, whoa, Nationals. Yeah.
Intrude
in your brain.
And we had a bunch of like hype songs. I know we did My Shot from Hamilton, X Gonna Give It to You, and I did Fuel by Metallica. That was the final round hype playlist. And so every time I hear those songs, I'm going to think of going into that final round. Because literally walking on that stage, all I could think of was,
X Gonna Give It to You. You're gonna give
it. That was Rachel's, by the way. So those songs are also, and the whole Hamilton playlist, I think, well, they're already near to my heart, but even more so now because I have that to tie to them.
Yeah, that's so cool. Is your brain, the moment that you're done, is you just your brain on fire thinking about ideas for next year already?
A little bit thinking about next year and a little bit just trying to be like, I just want to savor this, you know, because I don't know how next year will go. And I definitely, we've already come up with some really cool ideas. I was talking to Mr. Viney about the power of certainty. And he kind of raised that as a potential oratory topic. And because people are so convinced that they're right, that causes so many problems. And I think that's a big reason we have so many issues and disagreements these days, is because people just, they're right and everyone else is 100% wrong. So I think that's a really cool topic. And I actually, I got interviewed a couple times. It was our local news channel and then our local newspaper. Me and Danny Schultz were interviewed because she was the second runner-up for Student of the Year Nationals, which is really cool. So we both got interviewed and, you know, they kind of asked like, what kind of topics are you thinking about? Another topic I thought would be really cool is people with disabilities and how we as a society just aren't the best places to help them. And my mom actually worked at Magic City with people with disabilities and, you know, she knows ASL and everything. And I think that's so cool. And I think we need to be more accommodating for people who are differently abled. And so that was another potential topic. And, you know, I've thought about doing other events like maybe Poi or I want to do drama again. It's been a while. I didn't do it this year, but I also kind of want to take it easy because it's going to be my senior year and I have a stacked schedule. I have like 3 AP classes, all honors and college level stuff. So it's going to be a lot.
I kind of just want to like take it easy and enjoy it, maybe with a couple events that I really care about. So yeah, I've definitely thought about it a little.
That's smart to make sure that you enjoy the moments, yeah, and then always like trying to be taking care of your mental health and the things that are important to you are a good part of that, but you also got to be careful not to burn out. Yeah, like
because yeah, it's happened. I lose all ambition. And I just like, maybe I don't want to do speech anymore, and it's not a fun place to be.
Yeah. Well, sounds like you've got a pretty mature, like measured attitude about it though. And I think it's going to be a really great senior year for you. I hope so.
Thank you.
Do you, you've shared a little bit of advice for platform competitors just by talking about your speech and about how you prepare and stuff to do your best for a speech. But do you have some other advice for platform competitors or interpretive competitors since you do both?
Yeah. Especially for a platform. Been a Hewer kid all 3 years, plan on doing it again for my fourth. Humor is such a powerful tool that I think goes underutilized in platform events, at least that I've seen. And I know that the people who do really well make the audience laugh, because I don't want to say underutilized. I think it should be more utilized for people who do want to do well, but it's such a powerful tool because it gets people engaged, makes them want to listen, because the worst thing you can do for an audience is make them bored. They're bored, going to zone out. They're not going to hear what you have to say. Even if it is something super important, people just lose their attention span. And, but if you keep them laughing, it keeps them engaged and they want to listen to you. So biggest piece of advice is just be funny, because it works and it makes people feel good. You know, I think it's important to talk about important things seriously, but how I usually structure my speeches is I start with a lot of humor and just kind of slowly introduce the topic and get you kind of engaged and on board with it. And then once I get to the speech winding down, what you might call like the climax, I hit you with the heart, why it's important. And at that point, people will already be invested because you're making them laugh. That message then hits a lot harder. And that's why I think my expos did so well, is because I started with a lot of humor, but then I added the heart, and you're already invested, so it just hits much harder. And I think that's the best humors do the same thing, and the best dramas do the same thing. They're funny, and you're invested in the characters and everything, and then it hits you. It hits so much harder because you are engaged. For platform and intern, that's my biggest piece of advice, is just be engaging with the audience and let them know that it's something you really care about, because that's what matters, you know? And if you're invested, they will be too.
Humor is always a really good thing to integrate into your speeches. Not just, I mean, for all the reasons you said, and then I think it's just like the literal physiological response. Like your body, when you laugh, it's doing something that wakes you up. And then you as a performer also get the joy / adrenaline boost / like just the feel goods from making someone giggle. I think it's like affirming for you as a speaker too. If you deliver things in a way that's effective, you get laughs, and then it's just kind of like, oh yeah, yeah, things are going the way that I'm planning. I'm having the impact that I'm trying to have.
It is kind of a double-edged sword, though, because I feed off of audience interaction so much that if I don't get it, I feel so horrible about that round. I'm like, oh, they hate me. Yeah, that is really hard. So I know some people, if they're super competitive, they might not do this. I always try to be engaging any speaker, because I know how hard it is when people don't like.
So even if it's not that funny, I still want to laugh and support them so they do their best, you know, because it's unfair to get laughs and then stonewall someone else. That's just mean. So that's kind of how I try to do it. And it's hard at some tournaments because you get so tired and you're like, I just want this to be over. But I think it is important as a speech competitor to support every speaker, not just your friends.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, this is an activity that means a lot to all of us. And it's pretty hard when you don't feel like the work that you're putting in is like having the results that you want. And some people just need that confidence boost. They just need it.
Yeah.
So
absolutely. So
do you have some other pieces of advice for platform performers too, or?
So this is personal preference, but I do not like roadmaps. I really don't. They just get on my nerves so bad. Especially if they don't tie into the topic at all. Like sometimes I feel like people use the personal stories and the hook just so they can make a roadmap off of it. And I think it's okay to like in both of my speeches, I go back and I talk about what we've covered just to refresh your brain. But I'm not like, so first we open the door into dad jokes and then we walk through. Like I hate stuff like that so much. And before semifinals, we had a whole like half hour of making jokes about that. And like Mr. Viney did a roadmap and it was just literally walking through a morning routine. So he's like, so first my alarm went off and I shut it off. And it, like he just did that until he got to work. And it was so funny because it's so real. So personally, I do not think you need a super complicated, dramatic. I think it's a lot more efficient to just talk about what you're going to talk about and then talk about it. You don't need to be super theatrical with it. And I think it's okay to have inter elements in a platform speech because, again, it's more entertaining, it's more engaging, but you do not need to make a roadmap 3 minutes long. It's just, that's a personal thing. If you like them, that's okay. Just please, they get exhausting after doing oratory all year.
I do think too, like you're also sort of commenting on, you know, there's like unwritten rules about how events kind of happen. I mean, this was sort of tapped into in the oratory that stage this year. But there's these unwritten rules, like this is how you find success in certain events that just kind of becomes true because they're just cultural, you know, they're just part of the culture. And I think that's one of those artifacts from that is this kind of theatrical, over the top roadmap of the speech is just sort of something that became really common, like with metaphors, you know, like really like
exactly
heavy handed metaphors.
Yeah. And that was another thing we talked about at Nationals. It was like, we kind of want like a revolution of these speeches and we can make a new style, you know, and that might catch on and stuff like that. And that's why I think, what was it called? Disrespect or disrespectful. I think that's why it resonated with the audience so much is because it went completely against all of those tropes, you know? And I think that's important. I think it's okay to not get too comfortable with how a speech is formatted.
Yeah, especially with events that have so much flexibility. Like there's
exactly
not
you
a
don't
lot of rules.
Have to do so. An oratory the exact way everyone does it. You know, you really don't have to. It's just, I think a lot of judges have this idea that if it isn't formatted like everything else, it's as good. And I think that's a stigma that needs.
Yeah. I think you're putting your finger on some, like just creativity, like just being willing to think outside of what is normal, just exactly. Figuring out. So if something does bother you in the format of these speeches, then, you know, like you say, maybe you don't have to do it that way. So
yeah, exactly.
It's a message for
and
coaches
I think creativity
to remember
is super
too.
Important. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, because I think sometimes we're kind of like, well, if you want to have success, you need to do it this way. But hey, that's only true as long as everyone votes in the same way that they always have. So there's no reason that has to happen either.
Exactly. It's got a lot of goals, you know?
Mm-hmm. For sure. Is there anything else that bothers you about speeches or that you have some thoughts on, like some helpful ideas for folks?
I think there's definitely a style of voice a lot of speeches fall into as well. I just feel like everyone has the same speaking style. I feel like it's okay to have your own voice and your own cadence because, I don't know, it's hard to describe and I don't want to sound mean against people who do this. I feel like it's okay to branch out and try more creative, original voices and characters, and that goes for any interim of it too. I know, and it's hard because there's certain like character styles that are just very common, and it's hard to kind of break that mold. I've been guilty of doing similar things, like like shouting in dramas. That's a big thing. I think it's important to have more nuance and originality and creativity in anything you do, because I don't think speech is something that should be super structured. I think it should be something where we can all do what we want to do and we should be able to do well with it. You know, that's kind of my opinion on the matter.
So it sounds like you're encouraging people to be brave and go out there and do the things that they're interested in, make the characters that work for them. I mean, it's tricky with brand new competitors. I do think that, imitation and sort of finding your voice and stuff through like models and stuff is probably pretty important, but I do think some good next level advice is to like, okay, so you see how the way that folks do it generally. Now, how do you want to do it? How do you want to make yours? How do you want to make this?
And I think it is important to give new competitors some structure and some general, like, this is what the speech looks like. But yeah, definitely once you get a little more into it, I think if you really do want to get to the next level, it's important to kind of do your own thing.
Absolutely. So any other advice before we move on?
Oh, take care of yourself. Always make that the most important. Gotten so stressed. I've had panic attacks and just awful, awful mental states at a lot of different tournaments. And it's because I've just gotten so burnt out. And fact of the matter is, you do not have to go to every single tournament. And I think it's damaging to do too much, because I love, I really do. It just, if you do it too much for too long, can be really hard on you. So every tournament, you know, take care of yourself, eat well, sleep well, put your well-being above how well you place. And I know it might sound conceited because did get to the highest level, but in reality, how you place doesn't matter. Like, it feels really good to do well. That's awesome. And you should be proud of that, but you should be proud for public speaking in general, because it's literally the number one fear for everyone. You know, like, I was at the school board and I can't remember who it was, but someone said like, good job getting up there. My worst fear, I could never, you know. And it's true. Kids who do this event are super brave for just getting out there. It's, and I can't remember exactly who says it, but it's on a lot of our speech and debate merch. Speak out even if your voice shakes. That's what matters. So take care of yourself.
Yeah, I think your connection there to the ability to speak in situations that are in the world outside of speech and debate, the world where people need advocates, the world where your voice about your opinion about the reality that you have and what you want for the world. Like, that's so much more important and than what we do. But what we do also gives us the tools to be able to have those kinds of moments where we can speak in front of those folks in the world. So you're a national champion. So I know coming from you, it probably is a little bit frustrating for some people, but the W, the rank, I mean, it's not totally meaningless, but I think at the end of the day, what you walk away from is stuff that is about changing your world, you know, impacting others around you.
Yeah. And we can make a change.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I think this is a nice segue for you to have a chance to talk about what's next for you. You've mentioned some things. You got a really busy year coming up for you. That sounds like a lot of seniors that have an academic track have pretty rough years, lots of college level courses, AP courses. You got some plans for speech and debate. Is there anything even further on the horizon you have planned already? Like, do you have a career goal in mind? What's next for Josh Thompson?
Well, I definitely want to go to college after school. My current, this could change, my current is to go to UW and get a major in biomedical engineering. That's my current goal. I kind of had an epiphany last week and I was doing some research because I love STEM, love science and all biology. I was just kind of looking at it and I was like, what's a good job for biology majors, you know? I found this and it's, you know, it could have a whole vast array of job prospects, like engineering, prosthetics, pacemakers, hearing aids, stuff to help people, to making a computer model of the human brain and stuff. Just such a vast array of different things you could do. My main goal is to help as well as I can. Because it's a tough world. There's a lot of people hurting people. But if I can help people, it'd be the most important thing for me. So the current idea is biomedical engineering. And then hopefully getting a job out of college and seeing where that goes. So that's kind of my, as far as my lofty goals go, I've got to write those.
Yeah, the biomedical engineering sounds like a pretty easy academic track, so should be no problem.
Oh, yeah. Piece of cake, honest.
Piece of cake. Yeah, exactly.
Should be done in like 2 years.
Yeah. It's not a complicated degree program at all. But I could say I just spent a week at the University of Wyoming, living in the dorms for the University of Wyoming Forensics Institution camp. Like living in the dorms, man, you're going to love it. It's great. Shared showers, tiny spaces. It's awesome.
I'm an introvert. I don't know about it. Maybe I'll just make the commute every day.
The university is quite beautiful right now. They're doing a lot of construction, but it does look amazing. And it's like the engineering school is really good. So I don't know. Might be a good way to go.
Yeah.
It's exciting.
I don't know. I think that'd be really cool. So,
well, we'll be watching you closely. We'll see what happens. No pressure, of course, because you've got lots of time. So you don't have to have it all figured out now, which is kind of nice.
That is nice. It's one of those things where I think everyone feels like they have to have it figured out. In reality, it's life, you know, just kind of take it as it goes.
Nobody really has everything figured out. So
Exactly.
So let's think about big picture for speech and debate. What do you think is the best thing about speech and debate for you personally?
So I know I've kind of touched on this, but I personally think the best thing is just speaking your truth, speaking for what you believe, because that's kind of like the idea our whole country is based off of. And I think we've had a lot of issues being so kind of self-centered. We don't want to listen to differing opinions.
And I think it's really important to not only speak about what you believe in, but also to listen to other people share what they believe. And speech and debate gives you platform to speak for what you believe in and listen to others. And you can't say anything. You just got to listen for 10 minutes, hear what they have to say, and take it to heart. And I think that's so important because I think we're in a world where everyone talks over each other. We don't listen to each other. And I've heard an old quote. It's like, you know, we only have one mouth and two ears, so we should listen twice as much as we speak. Now, I think that's super important because it is good to get your message out for people to hear it and take it to heart. A hearing part is just as, if not more, important. You know, and another great thing about it is we hear about things we wouldn't otherwise know. My only social media is Snapchat and YouTube. So like, I don't read the news a lot. I probably should to stay educated. During the speech season, you hear about a lot of topics and sometimes you're like, oh my gosh, I had no idea about this. No, it encourages you to do your own research to form your own opinions about it. And it's just such a beautiful, mature thing. I think it's really important for anyone to, and not to mention getting better at public speaking, being and organizing your thoughts and memorizing. It's great for your brain. It's very stimulating and there's a lot of benefits to it. Yeah, the whole just speaking, listening, those are just unimaginable important in today's world, especially.
Yeah, so speech and debate definitely does some really amazing things with that. Gives some opportunities for education to just hear different perspectives and value them. So yeah, I'm with you. I think so too.
Yeah.
That's pretty important, but probably more important is I've been on this journey to try to figure out the perfect snack for speech and debate tournaments. Oh. I mean, there's like the reality of these tournaments that just they wash over you like waves every single weekend for three months or so, probably a little bit more than that. Not every weekend for more than that, but you know what I mean? So yeah. How does one find sustenance in the desert? Like what is your go-to speech and debate snack?
All right. So here's the hard part. I'm a very picky person. Like, I know I was talking about taking care of yourself earlier, and it's just hypocritical of me, but if my team gets McDonald's and there isn't a plain option for a picky eater like me, I just won't eat. And it's bad. I'll just eat snacks from earlier. I won't have an actual meal for the rest of the day, you know, and it's not good. So bringing good snacks is very important. And my go-to snack on this trip is white cheddar Cheez-Its. That's the holy grail of snacky foodstuffs. Specifically the family size for one.
White cheddar Cheez-Its. Yeah. I'm finding that Cheez-Its are a favorite for a lot of people. A lot of debaters really like Cheez-Its. And then there's all these various flavors of Cheez-Its that seem to be, there's some debate about what the best are, but so you're a white cheddar guy. Okay.
I'm a white cheddar guy and I don't think that'll change anytime soon. But the original is also.
Oh, I'm a big extra toasty guy. I like the extra toasty ones.
Ooh, yeah. So I like good. The extra cheesy, extra toasty. Those are.
The descriptor extra toasty for some reason like just calls out to me. I like it.
It's like, what does this even mean?
I'm so toasty, you know? I don't know.
It's just so toasty.
Is there any kind of beverage that you prefer to wash down your white cheddar Cheez-Its?
Okay. So it's really bad because, again, I get anxious and I get tummy troubles, which might be TMI, but I'm a big coffee drinker. So I like to get the glass bottles
I like to get the glass bottles of the Starbucks Frappuccinos, specifically the mocha. That's my favorite. If I get a 4-pack for a longer trip, I'm set.
And yeah, those are pretty tasty. Also like nuked, so they like last forever. Which is kind of great.
Yeah.
They got that kind of the lovely like coffee plus chemical thing going on. It's just like delicious. No,
you're set. You're not gonna sleep if you drink.
Yeah. Who can sleep at a speech and debate tournament?
Exactly. This is a joke. Take care of yourself.
Yeah, I was going to say, we're kind of like talking out of both sides of our mouths here. Take care of yourself. Very important. Don't eat anything. You're not going to sleep yet.
The national champion is a hypocrite?
Oh, dear. Well, some good snacking advice. And it's been really lovely to talk with you, Josh. Thanks for coming on the podcast. Yeah, appreciate your perspective.
Thanks again for having me.
Congratulations again on your amazing accomplishment to be the national champion expository this year. So thank cool. You. Yeah. Just thank you so much for hopping on and chatting with me. I do like to try to give people a chance to, if there's anything you want to add about the community or anything at all, like this is a forum for you. But
well, I guess I just want to say a big fat thank you again to the entire speech and debate community for the incredible support and love and kindness and bravery. Just so much good comes out of this community and so many good people.
Thanks so much to Counselor Josh Thompson for dropping by Camp One Clap. Tomorrow, don't miss all the action at camp. Counselor Alexis Worthen will be sharing tips for Congress folks in Capture the Congress Crown, Episode 1. Also, Counselor Adrian Graham's introduction video to his series, Professor Graham and Kevin's ABCs of Debates, will be debuting. Remember, social media challenges are live for every day of camp this August. Let's start getting excited for the speech and debate season a little bit early and inspire each other this year. I'll be doing each challenge every day as well. So with that, I bid you farewell, campers. The forest of speech and debate will always be the place where we grow, flourish, and thrive together. For Camp One Clap, this is Camp Director Wiley signing off.